verse 37 there, as he spake, a certain Pharisee. Now the word Pharisee seems like a good time to look at that again. It's from a root word. The word Pharisee means separate or distinguish, separate, to separate or to distinguish one thing from another thing. And that definition really tells us everything. Look at Luke chapter 18, just a few pages over. Verse 9. This is a very familiar passage and often preached on, I imagine that you've heard. But think about what's happening here in light of our text this morning, what the word Pharisee means. Here's a person that has distinguished himself. He's separated himself. And see if that's not what happened here. In verse 9, Luke 18:9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm separate. I'm distinguished. I'm different. On what basis? Other men are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican. But I fast. I do things. That was what separated him in his mind and heart from sinners. What he did. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful. The publican wanted a difference to be made. But see, he said, I'm a sinner. I'm not any different than anybody else. But he asked God to do something to make a distinction. Have mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And then the Lord makes a distinction. In verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. There's a separation. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So there are two distinctions made in that text. Two people are distinguished from one another two times. They're separated. The first time is in the mind and heart of the Pharisee and nowhere else. Because God says there's no difference. You may think you've made a difference between yourself and others by what you do. But God says there is no difference. Jew, Greek, doesn't make any difference. But in the mind of that Pharisee, he distinguished himself. And that's what the word Pharisee means. They deliberately did that. They knew that that's what they were doing. I'm not the same. I'm not as other men are. I'm separate. I'm distinguished. And what distinguished him from that publican was what he did. I fast, I pray, I do this, I give. And that means to recognize as distinct or different. He distinguished himself. He recognized himself as distinct or different from the publican. I'm not like him. I'm not like him. And then our Lord distinguished the publican from the Pharisee. And these are the two religions. And the only two. Everyone by nature is a Pharisee. Everybody. It doesn't matter if you call your religion Baptist or Buddhism. It doesn't make any difference. You're a Pharisee. You are someone who distinguishes himself from others, makes the difference between salvation and being lost to be something that you do. You're a Pharisee. And the Pharisee in Luke 18, he separated himself from the publican. He said, I'm not like him. On what basis? I do these things. I do this, I do that, I do the other. And he doesn't. Our Lord distinguished the publican from the Pharisee on what basis? The publican is justified. No sin. No sin. The Pharisee went down to his house in his sins, guilty. But on what basis is that distinction made? God be merciful to me. And that word merciful there means propitious. It means to be expiated. It means to be atoned for. He went into the temple. He stood before the mercy. He came where the mercy seat was. He came where God said, I'll commune with you there. Where the blood is splashed upon the mercy seat. He said, God, be propitious to me. Let that blood atone for me. That's what he's saying now. And that word, atone or propitiate, came to mean merciful because a sinner knows that there's just one way. God can be merciful. And that's through the propitiation, the sin offering of Christ, by the blood, blood atonement, the precious blood of the Lamb. David said in Psalm 143:7, Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like. I'm not different than anybody else. I'm not separate. I'm not distinct in any way. Lest I be like them that go down into the pit, I will be just like... There's one reason that I'm not going to go to hell like everybody else. One reason. If the Lord hears me and reveals himself to me, hide not thy face from me. Hear me and don't hide from me. Reveal yourself to me. That's the only difference. In other words, Christ. Reveal Christ to me. Reveal Christ in me. Don't hide. Ephesians 2:1. Listen to this. I probably should have you turn to these, but I want to be brief and succinct. I want this clear message. Are we a Pharisee? Are we Pharisees? We are by nature. There's no question about that. We are distinct. We are different. We are separated in our own minds and hearts. That's the religion of this world. We're different because of what we do. We have, you know, the Lord, you know, the word goes out to everybody, but only those who receive it, only those who make a decision, only those who exercise their free will, exercise their faith, are going to be saved. There's the saved and the lost. What makes the difference? It's up to you. Pharisee. Pharisee. That's just as clear as a bell now. But listen to Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened. You hath the Lord given life to who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You were in control by the same evil that they are now. Among whom also we all, me, you, everybody, had our conduct in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and only that. That's all we cared about, the desires of the flesh. And were by nature the children of wrath. You know the next three words? Even as others. No difference. No difference whatsoever. Well, then, are we all going to hell? No, there's going to be a difference. The Lord hath put a difference between his people and this world. Even as others, but God. If not for him now, if not for him who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. The difference between me and the child of disobedience that even now the spirit of disobedience works in. The only difference is God and the richness of his mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were just like everybody else, hath quickened us together with Christ, parentheses, by grace are you saved. I love that. It's almost like he whispered that part. By grace are you saved. Sometimes a whisper is louder than a shouting. By grace are you saved. Are you different than anybody else? No. By the grace of God, God made a difference. God made a difference. Now this Pharisee in our text thought and acted according to his nature. He marveled that the Lord did not wash his hands before he ate, because that was a religious custom among the Jews. And the Lord claiming to be the Son of God, he was claiming to be from God. And this Pharisee had in his mind that it was God's will, you know. The traditions of the Pharisees, that's the will of God. If you don't wash your hands before you eat, you're unclean, and therefore you're defiled. And so he marveled, it was astonishing to him that the Lord wouldn't do that. He assumed that his own customs were the very will of God. He was amazed when he saw the Lord Jesus not conform to that custom. And many in religion would be shocked if they knew, for example, that we don't have an invitation here. You know what an invitation is? Most of you probably do. I was in it for a long time. I know exactly what it is. It's basically a begging session, about a 30-minute or longer begging session, trying to get sinners to do something for Jesus. You see, that was the distinction now. That's what made the difference in this Pharisee's mind. If I don't wash my hands, then I'm defiled. It's up to me. It's up to me. Me being clean is up to me. If religion found out, you don't have an invitation, how's anybody going to get saved? Well, the same way everybody that's been saved got saved, by the power and grace of God. I reckon, don't you? By the grace of God. But no, you've got to have a 30 or 45 minutes, sometimes longer, singing the same song over and over until somebody makes a decision for Jesus, you know. And boy, I could go further into it than that. It's weird. It's just weird. It has nothing to do. And they just assume that that's God's way of saving sinners, don't they? They just assume it. Oh, yeah. If you don't do that, if you don't have an invitation, that's when people get saved. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's utterly foreign to the Scriptures. Utterly. It's a horrible invention of religion. Because you see, and the reason they do it is because they're Pharisees. It's up to you. We've got to provide, there's got to be a time for you to make your decision. Because if you don't make a decision, if you don't do something, you're not going to be saved. What about if God does something? You think sinners might be saved that way? Maybe God can just save them. You reckon? By the way he said he would? By the preaching of the gospel. Instead of us doing a bunch of foolish religious nonsense that has nothing to do with the Word of God. Well, this was like that. It was a common religious tradition that had been considered necessary to holiness. You're unclean if you don't do it. You've got to wash your hands before you eat. And you know our Lord set this up deliberately. He caused that man to ask him to go eat with him and deliberately didn't wash his hands, to bring about this astonishment and this lesson. And our Lord set him straight on it, didn't he? Boy. And before we go any further, let me ask you this. Do you still have any religious customs that are foolish? Well, you wouldn't think we would you? And yet I know any legalistic nonsense that we cling to because we were just we were brought up that way. I know some that think you need to dress a certain way to worship. You know anybody like that? You've got to dress a certain way or it's just not right. I don't see that in the Word of God. I just don't see it. I'm sorry. Maybe I've missed it. But, and you know what? It's a distraction from the gospel. If you can't, you know, preach the gospel through that, then shut up about it. Others have deduced by their superior reasoning abilities that certain doctrines that are not taught in the Bible are necessary to salvation because they make sense. They just make sense to them. I've heard a bunch of them. And I could get very specific about it. It seems to them that if you don't believe these complicated, often convoluted doctrines, these things, you can't possibly believe what's actually taught in the Scripture, because it's just an obvious deduction from what God said. I think I'll just stick to what God said. Thank you very much. How can the simple truth of Christ crucified not be enough? How can that not be enough? Just the simplicity that's in Christ. Oh boy, if God takes His hand off of us for a millisecond, it won't be enough. It won't be enough. We can never exhaust the bottomless mine of the glorious gospel truth concerning our Lord Jesus Christ and His soul-saving death on Calvary. Accomplished. Salvation accomplished. What else is there to talk about? Oh, there's all kinds of weird stuff if Christ is not enough. But bless God, He is. The gospel which our Lord is about to teach this Pharisee is not complicated. You don't need brain power to believe it. You need faith from God. That's what you need. You need faith. Faith, by the way, to receive it as a little child, not a theologian. If you receive the truth as a theologian, you're not getting into the kingdom, he said. You've got to receive it as a little child. Or you're not going to enter. Mark 10:15. Didn't make it up. Our Lord said, Now do you Pharisees, you make clean the outside. And what our Lord told him now is what He also said in Matthew chapter 15. Let's look at it together. Matthew chapter 15. Keep a marker there at Luke 11, because we'll come back to that. He said there in Luke 11, where our text is, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." Now listen, this is, some think it's the same story, different accounts of it. But I'm sure our Lord taught this more than at one time and in one place. But Matthew 15:1-20, "Then came Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat?' But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?'" And that's what this washing of hands was. It was never taught in the Scripture like that. It was a tradition of the elders. And that's what they said. They admitted that much. He said, why do they transgress the tradition of the elders? You can't transgress the tradition of the elders. Transgression is against God, or it's not transgression. You can't sin against the elders. Okay? You know that. "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free." You say, you don't have to honor your father and mother. You don't have to take care of them. As long as you just say to them, "Look, I know you need this and that, and this, but this, my resources are a gift to God. I've got to use this for the ministry. And so I just can't help you." You say that to your father and mother, and you say you're free, as long as you are spending it on your religion, thinking that you're honoring God when God said, "Honor your father and mother." But you say this, "Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Now remember that, because that has a bearing on something in our text as well. And he said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They're saying, "Oh, this is for God," when the God that they're talking about told them what to do, and they're not doing it. but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. You eat with clean hands or dirty hands, whatever. That's not your problem. That's not the defilement that you need to worry about. The defilement you need to worry about is what's on the inside, what's in your heart by nature, your evil nature. This defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard that saying? Doesn't it just make sense what he's saying? Do you really think you're going to go to hell because you got a little dirt on your hands and then ate and got some dirt inside of you? You're going to go to hell? He said, No. Your sin comes from inside of you. It doesn't go into you from your hands. Sin comes from the inside. That's the defilement. It's your heart. It's the evil of your heart. That just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But the Pharisees, that was an abomination to them. The simple truth. Simple. A child can understand that if the Lord reveals it. And a theologian will never get it unless God does reveal it. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you yet also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? Don't we understand that? That just in a practical sense, that's not defilement. That can't harm you. That can't, before God, make you unclean. It doesn't even make any common sense. Are you yet without understanding? But verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. That's the defilement. They come out of the heart and they defile the man. Those things. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And they come from your heart. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. That just sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? That anybody would think that. And yet, religion is ridiculous. The best we can come up with without the revelation of God is ridiculous. There are things in religion that are practiced and believed right now that are more ridiculous than that. I'm not even going to take the time to name them. I'll bet you can think of a couple of them. But in order to ever truly be clean, we're going to have to understand what dirty is. That's what our Lord is teaching here. How dirty we are, at least to understand. We're not going to know how dirty the extent of it, but at least to the point where you know you can't clean it up. You got to understand that much about it, that as far as how dirty you are. You need to know that you making it better ain't going to make it better. No matter how clean you make your hands or anything about you, you cannot cleanse your heart before God. You can't do that. Our Lord gives him a picture of a cup that is sparkling clean on the outside. But it's not just dirty on the inside. He said it's full. You see that in the text? Let's look at it again. You make clean, you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. And notice this, he's not saying that you drink from a dirty cup. He's saying you are the dirty cup. You see that? You are full of ravening and wickedness. Full. There's no room for anything else. Ravening is extortion and robbery. Religion's all about that, aren't they? Robbery. Always talking about giving. It's stealing, is what it is. It's not giving. when you tell people that God, you know, requires 10%, and if you don't pay it, you know, you're not, it's not going to be right with God, that's stealing, because it's a lie. It's a lie. And wickedness is depravity, evil purposes and desires. It's a noun, not a verb. In other words, it's what you are, not what you do. If you look up that word wickedness, it is a noun. And that's pretty significant. We do wickedness because we are wicked. Now, a sinner who knows this will not say, look what I've done. This is what makes me, this is why I'm not like that Pharisee, and here's why I've done this, I've done that. A sinner who understands what dirty is, what sin is not going to say, look what I've done. He's going to say, God have mercy. Like the other man there that day did. God have mercy. I'm a sinner. I need your mercy because I'm not different. I'm just like everybody else, wretched and vile and corrupt. I need your mercy. The Lord looks on the heart. We can't see the heart, but God looks on the heart. But we learn something from God about the way that we are to see things. I don't know that you're evil because I can see you're evil. I know you're evil because God said you were. I know how evil you are because God revealed it. That's how I know how evil I am too. I can't see my own evil. You'd think you'd be able to, but we can't. We got to believe God. We got to have faith, God-given faith. We can't see the heart, but the way we see things is not based on what we see, what we understand by nature. It's faith. It's we believe God. I believe what God says about me. I don't have to see a man's heart to know. If that man preaches and trusts the works and will of man for salvation, he's defiled. Where I can't see, but I know it's true because God said so. The Lord taught concerning his disciples. Let me make this point as briefly and clearly as I can. The Lord taught his disciples concerning the Pharisees, those who separate themselves, those who make, who distinguish themselves from others. He said, don't be like them, don't pray like them, don't do anything, don't give like them. Don't be like them. And leave them alone, stay away from them. Here he calls them full of extortion and wickedness. And he said something else about them in verse 40 there. You fools. Not only are you evil, but you're out of your mind. You're idiots. You're an absolute idiot. Now, all I want to do this morning is just repeat what the Lord said. Don't be like them and stay away from them. And I want to be clear about that. Now, I know people say I'm hard-hearted and, you know, maybe even talking nonsense when I say don't have anything to do with them. Our Lord was particular about that. We have to live in this world and we have to function in this world. We have to do business with this world. But the Pharisees particularly, those who were leaders and teachers, people talk about, you know, as far as going into business with them, or should I let my kids go to a Christian school, or when they're staying over with friends, you know, maybe they'll go to church. But it's just one time. It's not going to be. It's a big deal. Don't do it. They're snakes. Stay away from them. Our Lord warns us against them. Don't pray like them. Don't worship like them. Don't give like them. Leave them alone. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he explained very clearly, that's their doctrine. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said in 2 John 1:10, don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't do it. Don't have anything to do with them. Chris, don't you want to see prayer in the schools? I do not. I do not. I don't want my children or anybody that I know or love or have any influence over to have anything to do with the religion of this world. Now, they can have to do with religious people in ways that are necessary, but don't go anywhere near the religion of this world. Don't have anything to do with it. And the longer I see things and learn things and experience things, the more adamant I am about that. Don't do it. Don't trifle with it. And I know we can't keep our children from this world, but we can, by the grace of God, be wise and heed our Lord's warnings. I imagine there are parents of over 1,000 children in Pennsylvania alone that wish they could have done things differently. Have you seen the news lately? In one state in this country, over 300 priests abused over 1,000 children in Pennsylvania alone. And that's just the ones they know about. That's the religion of this world now. They go around saying, "God bless you, my child," and doing unspeakable things that I can't even talk about in polite company. That's the religion of this world. And that's just the physical damage they do. The spiritual damage is incalculable. Listen to me now. Listen to the Word of God about it. The spiritual harm cannot be measured. We cringe at things like that, but we don't have the slightest idea what our Lord is talking about when He says, "full of extortion and wickedness." Let's just trust Him and stay away. We're warned against the religion of this world, and we do well to heed that warning. But here's the question this morning: how can I be clean? I am the religion of this world without the grace of God. How can I be clean? I've got to be clean on the inside. And I've got to be clean not to you, but to God. God has to count me clean. Job asked this question a long, long time ago, in Job 25:4. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. In Job 9:1 he said, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" How can I be clean? These friends were telling him, "You shouldn't have done it. Oh, you did this and that, and you're being punished for it." He's saying, "I know that I've got to be guiltless before God, but how is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? How is that going to be true?" Here's the answer. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. You could probably quote most of this passage, but I want us to look at it this morning. This is the way a sinner, a vile, wretched, corrupt, full of extortion and wickedness sinner, can be clean before God. And I'll give you a hint up front. It ain't by washing your hands. You already knew that. Mark 1:40, "And there came a leper to him." The very picture of uncleanness. A leper was declared legally under the Old Covenant to be unclean and unwelcome in the company of anybody because they're so nasty and vile and contagiously so. That's what we've been talking about. Stay away from them. You know, not that we're not defiled ourselves, but our Lord teaches us now. We are defiled. We are this on the inside. There's no question about that. And how am I going to be clean before God? "A leper came to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if you will." That old leper right there knew the answer to the question. How can man be just with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? If you will. Well, wait a minute, I thought it was up to the will of man. You thought wrong. It's up to the will of the Lord Jesus. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will." That's how a man can be clean that's born of a woman, a sinner can be clean before God. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Salvation is not up to the will of man, and it's not something you do. It's something he does. John said in Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He can say with power and with authority, be thou clean, because he did something about it. Because of his precious sin-atoning blood, whoever he wants to be clean is clean. Whoever he shed that blood for is clean. And hath made us kings and priests unto our God. To him be glory. Are we glorifying the one by whose will and precious blood sinners are made clean? Well, I don't want to glorify anybody else, do you? We are defiled by nature. We must be clean. We cannot clean ourselves. This is one plus one plus one, isn't it? You're defiled. You must be clean. You've got to be clean. You're not ever going to see God or enter into His kingdom the way you are. You can't clean yourself. Only Christ can cleanse a sinner. Lord, if you will. Simple, clear, plain, the simplicity that's in Christ. Lord, if you will. God, be merciful. That's how you're going to be clean. That's how you're going to go down to your house today with no sin. God, be merciful. Be propitious to me on the mercy seat. May the blood atone. I pray that the blood has atoned for me. May there be atonement for my sin by that precious blood upon the mercy seat. No sin. He went down to his house justified, clean. He washed the sinners clean in his precious blood. Our Lord said in verse 40, you're a fool if you give attention to the outside and think you can hide the inside. That's what he's saying there. He said, I made the outside of the cup and I made the inside of the cup. I know what you are on the outside and the inside, and you've completely ignored the inside. You're trying to make clean the outside. The Lord made both. You can't hide from Him. You can't fool Him. Cleaning the outside of the cup ain't going to cut it. He made the inside and He knows all about it. And only He can clean it. You must do business with Him. If we say that we have no sin, 1 John 1:8, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we say, God, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why that man went down to his house clean. Because he said, God, I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. Would you have mercy on me? I will. Be thou clean. That's how a sinner is saved. In verse 41, it makes reference to what we read in Matthew 19. Let's look at it again. I want us to understand this. We've seen the heart of the message. It's about cleaning the outside of the cup and not the inside. And look, you can't even clean the outside. He thought he had. He could fool himself to that extent. People can say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to do that. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to quit doing that. And now I'm clean. They at least think they've cleaned the outside. But that ain't even clean. You're still committing sin left and right on the outside, much less the inside. But boy, the Pharisees were offended. You know why? At his teaching? Because even a complete idiot knows I can't change the inside. We have that much understanding by nature, but we don't believe that that's necessary. We're that foolish. He made it clear to them that it's the inside that must change. It's the heart that's evil, and that they must have a new heart. But look at verse 41. But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean. Now this makes reference to what we read there in chapter 15 of Matthew, where the Pharisees, you know, they said to their mom and dad, I can't take care of you because of this money, you know, is dedicated to the service of God. When God is the one that said, take care of your mom and dad, honor them, take care of them. And so he's saying here, in other words, don't make the word of God void by your traditions. Give alms of what you have now. Don't be looking to the future or to the past. God has blessed you. God has made clear what His will is. Act on it. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't change what God said by your foolish tradition. And then he said this, and behold, eat what you want. Everything's clean to you. It's not about that. Honor God and eat what you want. That's the message of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then do what you want. Salvation is not by you doing or not doing. But when God saves you, He changes your want to, doesn't He? I don't want to dishonor Him anymore. I don't want to change His word. I don't want to manipulate the word of God. Paul said we preach without the wisdom of man's word, without deceitfulness, without treachery, honestly. And that's the grace of God. So honor, don't get caught up on unimportant stuff. Religious things that don't matter. Look, I believe you ought to dress nice when you come to the worship. It's the public worship of God. It's for, but don't get caught up on, well, I gotta, you know. Don't worry about it. Look, we've come here to worship Him. The disciples, I suspect, we dress better than them on our worst day. You reckon? It's not about that. That's relative and is in the eye of the beholder kind of anyway, doesn't it? Behold, honor Him and eat what you want. That's what He's saying to him. Everything's clean to you. Just don't get caught up on the unimportant stuff and neglect the weightier matters of the law. He said that, listen, in Matthew 23:23, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What are they? Judgment, mercy, and faith. All the things we've been talking about today. Judgment, mercy, and faith. That's what we need to be concerned about. We need mercy because we're not going to be able to clean. The judgment of God is upon us by nature. We're not going to be able to change that. But He can. He can change us. He can give us a new heart. He can give us faith in His Son. He can give us life. You have He quickened which were dead. If Christ is not your righteousness, you can never be righteous. You can't make yourself clean, inside or out. But if Christ is your righteousness, you are righteous. Well, that goes without saying, Chris. Think about that, though. If Christ is your righteousness, you're not going to mess that up. Well, Christ is your righteousness, but you've got to, you know, do... Then Christ is not your righteousness. He either is or He ain't. If He is your righteousness, you are righteous before God. Period. And we do what we do by His grace because we love Him. We also are going to do a lot of what we do because we're wretched, vile sinners. But Christ is our righteousness. And now go act like it. Go act like it. You're not righteous because of how you act. Christ is your righteousness. But if He has made you clean with His own precious blood, then because you love Him, keep His commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not if you want to go to heaven, keep my commandments. If you love me. Do we? I can answer that this way. If He loves you, you love Him. If He first loved you, then you love Him now. And he says to you, do what I said. Do what I said. May God give us understanding and grace this morning.